hinted that maybe one day she'd like kids, but she never asked him.
No, I don't think.
You don't think, Ryan?
Ryan carefully looked at Marianne Moat. Close up, the resemblances he'd noted earlier were stronger. The gaudy queen with the dead eyes. And she was even older than he'd guessed.
That's right.
Me, you don't know? Lots of little Ryans running around Deathlands looking for their long-lost daddy? I declare.
Just wanted a word, Ryan. One or two folks say you and your party look mighty like a load of mercies. What do you say to that?
I say that I don't like answering the same question more than once. There was a shocked silence in the room, and for the first time, Ryan realized that he was dealing with real power.
Daddy asks a question, folks answer it.
That's right, Ryan. Reverend Moat says jump, and you just say, how high?
Now, this is the core and kernel of why I wanted a quiet word. I see that you seven outlanders have the look of, well, of folks that can handle themselves if there was any trouble. I just wanted to satisfy myself that you hadn't been hired by anyone in the Ville to take their side if there was to be some sort of difficulty.
Or firefight.
Yeah, a scale-blasted firefight.
Zombie clenched his fists. Marianne swept closer to Ryan so that he could smell a cloying scent, overlaying the stale odor of her body.
We don't believe it will come to that, Ryan. But you have arrived, no doubt by coincidence, at a key time for the Ville. There is a change in the air. Most of us believe that what comes from the Ville belongs to the Ville. All of it.
The gas.
Indeed. You're a man of perception, Ryan Carter. I saw that right away. Now, if... let's imagine you might have been hired by someone. I know what you say about happening by. First time's happenstance. Second time, it's pure luck. Third time, and you're on your back staring up at the sky. We'd double whatever you'd been paid. Double it, clear and free.
I'll bear it in mind. Moat moved closer.
I'm not a man to fuck around with.
Yeah, I see that.
Stick your prick into my business, you'll get it cut off.
Yeah, Reverend.
Well, go and have a nice day now. Zombie, see Brother Carter here off these premises. Good day.
Ryan was returned to his friends.
Well?
Like you said, lover. Friendliest little Ville in the whole fire-blasted West.
Saw an old movie back when I was, you know, it was Japanese, and about a sort of ace swordsman coming to a town like this. He found two warring groups there, and they both wanted him to help them against the other. In the end, they kind of wiped each other out and he moved on. Seems a bit like that here in Snakefish.
Huh, sure is. Looks like this place is a pan fit to boil. Baron's lost his hold. The Moat's got the power. Folks in the middle go along with the power. Doc was sitting on the bed, cleaning his nails with one of Jack's throwing knives.
Always have and always will. Show them a whip, and they'll fall down to kiss it.
Rick stood and walked to the window, stooping to peer out across the street. Ryan noticed that he was less steady on his feet than he'd been on the way to the service, when he'd had the help of the stick. Ginsburg turned back to face the others in the room.
Meant to ask you, though I have the feeling I'm not going to like the answer very much. Just what is a sticky?
After the long winters, Deathlands was full of hot spots.
Centers of high radiation?
Right. Seems that the nukin did some strange things to animals and plants.
And people.
And people. You saw the snakes. There's plenty of muty creatures of all kinds. Some pretty gross. Some you have to look real hard to see what's wrong. Stickies are kind of obvious.
What do stickies do? They stick to you, I guess? Is that it?
Right, Rick. They have kind of suckered hands. Some have feet the same. They can hang on smooth surfaces, like the side of a wag.
Oh, terrific. And there's a gang of them around here someplace?
So they say. Oh, there's a couple of other facts you should know about stickies. First is that they generally love all kinds of fires and explosions. Sometimes get themselves killed going too close to grins or flames.
What's the other thing this 20th century boy should know about stickies, Ryan?
Stickies all have a homicidally vicious hatred of all other living things.
Holy shit. Sounds like my Aunt Golda.
They were halfway through lunch when Carla Peterson arrived at the Rent-A-Room Hotel. Ruby Rayner was bringing in a tureen of stew with sweet potatoes and okra, sniffing with audible disapproval at Baron Brennan's assistant.
Good noon to you, Mrs. Rayner. I'm not here to help myself to your food, though that does smell so good. I just want a word with our Outlander brothers and sisters, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
The woman flounced out of the room, muttering something that sounded amazingly like Mercy's as she went.
Hollowtooth. That dried-up old bitch would sell her own kin to the feedings, if she had any kin to sell.
What's a feeding?
Carla picked at a small gravy stain on the cloth in front of her, hesitating briefly before she answered him.
Feedings when... There's only about one a year. Less some years. More when gas doesn't run so free, or there's a sickness in the cattle, or the crops fail, or the rains don't come.
And the creek don't rise.
Then the moats have a big service. Lasts for hours on end. They go into the brush and consult the oracles. How the big snakes are moving, trails, shedskin, all kinds of things. Then they proclaim a need for a feeding.
I have lived long enough, Miss Peterson, to hear the words behind the words.
How's that, Dr. Tanner?
A feeding. To my ears, it sounds as though you really mean a killing.
That right, Carla? What Doc says? You mean someone gets chilled and offered to those slimy, muty bastards?
John!
Carla looked quickly at the closed door of the dining room, with something very close to panic in her eyes.
What?
Words like that will bring you all into the coils, John Dix. Ruby Rayner's one of the best informers in the Ville. A breath here becomes a hurricane by the time it reaches the ears of the moats. You must take care with your talk.
Ryan leaned across the table, the congealing stew on his plate forgotten.
We're talking sacrifice, Carla. Is that it?
Edgar tries to stop it. Maybe he holds it in check. Marianne and her kin, they got the blood taste, Ryan. If the Baron falls, then the Ville will slide into butchery. If you could only help him. You got blasters, and you look like you know how to use them. Couldn't you?
Ryan caught JB's eyes across the table, but was unable to read them behind the blank glass of his spectacles.
We keep telling everyone that we aren't mercenaries, Carla. That means we won't hire out. There's enough men around Deathlands who'll chill for a pocketful of Jack.
Women, too.
Yeah, women as well, but not us. We saw the problem. The old Baron weakening, generous with the Ville's main wealth. The moats scenting power for themselves. It's not a news story, Carla. We've seen it all before. But that doesn't mean we'll get involved in it. I'm sorry.
They'll kill him and use the bikers to shut down anyone who tries to stand up. Doesn't that matter?
Christie's words were aimed at Ryan, but her eyes focused on JB.
It matters. But Carla, in Deathlands, you just can't step aside for every problem, every difficulty. There's always been killing in Deathlands, since the smoke settled after Dark Day. Rad blast it, we just can't help everyone.
The armorer's normally sallow face was flushed, and his fingers tapped nervously on the edge of the long table.
Edgar said you wouldn't help.
Norman Moat offered to double whatever you were paying us. Told him the truth.
Ryan remembered his food and stirred it with his fork.
Well,